Yes, I'm thankful to be here. I'm glad that I'm an answer to prayer. I'd like to tell you that it was for some righteous reason I had to exercise fatherly righteousness at home and had to stay home for a little bit, or that my neighbor called me and I ended up leading her to the Lord. No, it was neither of those two things. It's really stupid. I'll have to share it after. I don't want it on a recorded line here. But I'm thankful to be with you this morning, as I always am. I always find it a real treat to be able to come back to this church and to share with you God's word. If you were looking forward to the next installment of the book of Revelation, sorry to disappoint you on that. I felt that on this morning, I should do something different. It is the week before Thanksgiving. Our minds are sort of on focusing on family coming and being together and giving thanks and eating that nice turkey and passing the bowl of mashed potatoes and stuffing and my favorite sweet potato. It just didn't seem right to me to deal with the bowls of wrath in Revelation. So we'll look at that. Maybe not. I think I'm going to jump to chapter 11 next time I'm with you. But this morning, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1, 3 through 11. This is a song of thanks, just a words of thanks for the church at Philippi. The Apostle Paul has ministered in many different churches. Some of them have brought him great joy, like the church at Philippi. There's others that did not so much. I won't name any names there. You probably know who they are. But here, the church of Philippi warmed his heart incredibly. And they're a real example to us as a church and as a body of Christ as to what we should be thankful for. What are those important things that really should be at the top of our list that we give thanks to the Lord for? And so let me read the passage to you this morning. Again, it's the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And it says, I thank my God at all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God and Father, I come to you this morning. We all come to you this morning to hear from you, to be ministered to by your word. Oh, Lord, we pray that this morning you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that what is preached this morning would find some resonance in each of our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me, feeling a little bit rushed this morning to be able to carefully and faithfully preach this word this morning. May in all things, Lord, you be glorified and your church be blessed. For we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, first of all, just a little bit of orientation in the book of Philippians to understand the significance of these words of thanks here, you sort of have to understand where Paul is. Paul is in prison. He started his second missionary journey, set out wanting to go in one direction, and the Holy Spirit stopped him there. Then he set out in another direction, and then the Holy Spirit stopped him there again. And so he ends up coming to Philippi, which sure at some point was on his itinerary, but was not the place that he was heading for. But the Lord had some appointments for him there. He first comes to the city of Philippi, a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. It was often a place that Roman soldiers would retire. And so it was sort of a military area. And in this area, he first comes upon a businesswoman named Lydia, who is selling a seller of purple goods. And she is a seeker, wanted to know more about what he is teaching and what he is saying about this this person named Jesus Christ. He also runs into some people that are hostile to him, and he meets this lady who is possessed and is filled with a spirit of divination, where she's crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaims to you the way of salvation." You might say, "Well, what's wrong with that?" Well, there's nothing wrong with what she was saying, but it was she certainly was possessed. But even in that occasion, the Lord in his sovereignty is using her words in that state to proclaim good news. And then Paul and Silas are eventually arrested. They are thrown into prison or whipped, thrown into prison, then put in the stocks. Now, if that was you, what would you do? What would you say? What would be the spirit of your heart on that occasion? I don't think it would be Thanksgiving. Just a guess. But for these two gentlemen, they begin to sing. They're in the stocks. They decide to lead a worship service and begin to sing to the Lord. What a response song is, right? Song is an opportunity for us to declare the truth, but also to give thanks to God. And song, you know, songs of thanksgiving are so powerful when they're conducted in the context of trouble, of grief, of sadness, of hardship. That's where those songs are most powerfully sung. It reminds me of a story I heard about of the disaster at Aberfan. It is in England there. And it was an occasion where this cold tip had been raining so badly there in Aberfan that this cold tip collapsed and the rubble just came down the hill and covered this junior high school and a number of houses that were there, killing 116 children and 28 adults, if you could just imagine that. And on that occasion, at the funeral, as they had, you know, just dug a huge grave and had laid all the coffins in there of all of these children, that on this occasion, you would think that in the midst of all of their tears, you know, that they would not be given to song. And yet they did, singing a grand Charles Wesley hymn, "Jesus, Lover of My Soul, Let Me to Your Bosom Fly. While the nearer's waters roll, while the tempest is still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. safe into the haven guide, oh, receive my soul at last, right? Song like those have power in the midst of those occasions. And it was the same for the Apostle Paul. We don't know whether they were singing something that was more calm, or whether they were singing something that had a real tempo to it. Whatever it did, it had its effect because it resulted in an earthquake there in the jail, and everyone was released from their bonds and from their imprisonment, and it was occasion for Paul to lead someone to Christ. Unlike I was unable to do this morning, the Apostle Paul was able to lead the jailer and his entire family to the Lord. What a joyous thing. What a reason to give thanks for this detour in this trip, right? That he met these two ladies and this gentleman and his whole family, and they came to the Lord. That is a divine appointment. And it was set out and determined by the Lord for him to be there. So the Apostle Paul goes on with words of thanks about the church at Philippi. But the words that he gives are lessons for all of us about what it is that we should be thankful about, particularly about the church, about each other, about you here at Christ Presbyterian Church. You should be thankful for one another. And you should be finding reasons to give thanks for one another. Even in times of disagreement or hardships, whatever it may be, there is always a ground, because you are in Christ, to give thanks. And the first thing that we are to give thanks to the Lord is for our partnership in the gospel, both in success and in failure. The partnership in the gospel, even in the midst of success and failure. The Apostle Paul starts off in verses 1:3-5, where he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And as Paul thinks about that, there's been difficulties. There's been good things that have happened, but there have been a lot of trials. Paul had a lot of conflict with the authorities there in Philippi, who really just wanted to see him get out of town. They were not welcoming him. This was not a church plant that they wanted in their city. And here they face much trial and hardship. And yet in the midst of it, they are able to give thanks. Why is Paul able to give thanks? Because he knows that lives are being changed, and that the conflict that he experiences from others is a sign that he's doing God's work. If you're in a situation where things are just going breezy in ministry and everything is going your way, you really need to look and ask yourself, are you really doing the Lord's will? Oftentimes, if you are doing God's will, it is going to encounter difficulty and hardship. It's just part of, I don't say part of the game. It makes it sound, not sound righteous, but it is part of the process. The church is a church that, you know, we as a church, we are a church triumphant in many things, but we're also church militant, right? We're in a process of engaging in a war against the evil forces that are against us, against the heavenly powers, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our Lord isn't called to engage in this battle. He's called us to engage in a process of being a light to the world, of directing the sheep to where they are going to go, or where they should go, to battle against those who act like sheep among, you know, who are wolves, though. The Lord calls us to this gospel mission, a gospel mission that can have many things that are wonderful and also can have many challenges. And we should give thanks for the church that sees themselves as part of that mission. And you here at Christ Presbyterian Church, I know, are a part of that mission. And I see myself as a part of that mission with you, as you are part of that mission with the other churches here in New England and with the entire denomination. We're all engaging in this gospel effort to make a difference, right? To reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And therefore, that is a tremendous reason to give thanks and to press on. Paul says later in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that's not just an individual thing that's just for the Apostle Paul. That should be for each and every one of you to press on to that higher goal, to press on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The second thing we should give thanks for is the good work God has begun in you, has begun in us, and has not yet finished. The Apostle Paul says there in verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So when I tell you this, I say it in love. You all have a lot of work to do. We all have a lot of work to do. We're all growing in Christ, right? God has started his work in us, but he is refining us. He is developing us. He is strengthening us. And so we are not yet finished. God is achieving a great work in our lives. We should give thanks for this church because, see, you know, Christ Presbyterian Church is in a place where, you know, we have not arrived, that God is not through with us yet, that God has not given up on you. You know, I know that many times in the life of this church, it has been quite small, right? And you wonder, are we going to be here in 10 years? And yet, here you are again. You know, you're still here, right? You should give thanks for that, for the Lord is continuing to use you, though small, for his power and for his glory. So give thanks for that. The third thing that we are to give thanks for is that we're all partakers of God's grace and that we all need more. And there's more that can be provided. Paul says in Philippians 1:7, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. All of us are partakers of God's grace. As we have come to Christ, we have received his grace, but we always need more and more of it all the time. I'm always mindful of that in my life, that I need a regular supply of God's grace. And I'm always willing to come and receive it. That's why I find so much joy in the Lord's Supper. It's an occasion once again to come before the Lord and stand at the end of the table and receive his grace that he is willing to pour out in full, right? Our Lord is never cheap. He doesn't give us leftovers, right? He always gives us this full, his fullness if we are there and ready to receive it. And therefore, we are to give thanks for that grace. You know, every Thanksgiving, right, we eat far more than we should, right? But are we willing to come and eat and partake of God's grace as much as we can? Do we eat as much of that as we eat of the turkey, or we eat of the mashed potatoes, or of my favorite sweet potato pie? Right? We'll gorge on those things, but do we come to the Lord and desire to gorge on his grace. He's there and ready to give it in full to us if we are ready to come. We as people can all move forward in faith and trust in Jesus Christ because we know that we are partakers of his grace, and we know we all need more. I think of that story where Jesus had spoken to the Samaritan woman and got into a discussion of water. And Jesus made a comment about an endless supply of water. And this woman is wondering, well, where is this? Where can I go to get this endless supply of water? And Jesus talks to her about another type of water. Says in John chapter 4, verses 10 through 14, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself. As to his sons and his livestock, Jesus said to her, if everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Right? Jesus has provided us a well that never, ever runs dry. Never. Runs dry. Are we there to drink of it? As a church, that well is available for us. It's available for you here this morning to drink from. And the Lord has promised you his blessing. What a reason to give thanks. Another reason that we should give thanks is how we yearn for one another with the affection of Christ. Paul says in verse 8, for God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, you might say, wait a minute, Pastor, I don't always yearn, have the affection for other people in the church. Sometimes other people annoy me. Sometimes I really disagree with other people, and I don't have an affection for them. Wait a minute, you gotta read this very carefully. He says, the affection of Christ. I have the affection of Christ for you. Well, what is it about the Lord's affection? What is it about Christ's affection, right? Is that he loves us when we are unlovable, right? He loves us when we're dead wrong. He loves us when we are disobedient. He loves us even when we turn away from him, right? That is true love. That is affection. That is pure. And certainly in the life of the church, we're never going to be able to do that to the same degree or perfection as the Lord Jesus Christ, but it should nonetheless be our goal. Then even those occasions when we do disagree with other people, on those occasions where we are not feeling at one with others, that we're going to say, no, I'm not going to love them in my own power. I'm not going to love them with my own ability, but rather I'm going to love them with the affection of Christ. I'm going to allow him to be my guide and to be my strength. And in that, I'm going to give thanks. Lastly, we should give thanks to the Lord because his love is so good. And that in the Christian life, we should be those who adore him and are thankful for Christ and for his shed blood upon the cross, one who is willing to die for us in order that we might live. For all these reasons, we are to be those who give thanks to the Lord. I guess this morning I do something that's unusual. I don't usually do this. But I'm going to ask you, sort of put you on the spot, what are you thankful for? about your church or the church of God? What are you thankful for? I'll go first. I know that I'm thankful that over the last year, I've had the opportunity to come back and somewhat regularly preach to you. It has really meant a lot to me. I often am so saddened, you know, that circumstances led, because of my health, of leaving here. And many times I've regretted that. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, why didn't I just throw me into your grace and mercy and just trusted you in the midst of all of those worries and fears that I was having? I know that God in his providence worked it out for my good. And in God's providence, he worked it out for your good, because that's the way he works. And so I'm happy about that. But it's made this time to come back and to be with you at least once a month a real source of thanks. What about you? What are some of those things that you're thankful for about the body of Christ?
Matt. I'm thankful for Schmidt, Joel, and Ann, and our friendship and fellowship with them. And I'm really thankful for all those in the body who stepped up to minister to them over the last several weeks.
Mm.
And that it's gone well.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Aaron? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. But you're probably also thankful that it's now come to this point where you're bringing a candidate. Yes. Season of beginnings and season come to the end of a process. Yes. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. So oftentimes the Lord does his greatest work in our lives when it's hard and it's not easy. I've gone through many hardships and I often say, Lord, couldn't you have done it another way? But I always have to say, no, that was the right way. You know, I wouldn't have learned this lesson if you hadn't done it that way in my life. All right. See, there are reasons to give thanks. There are reasons to come before the Lord and to praise him for all that he has done. He is a God who is rich in grace and rich in mercy. And there's always many reasons to continue to give him praise. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God and Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are in our presence. We thank you that you love us so much. Lord, that you have poured your grace out on us and that you are willing to continue to supply. Lord, that we can come back to the well over and over and over again and it never runs dry. Lord, we are thankful for each other. We thank you for the relationships that have been built and the relationships that have been developed. Lord, continue to knit them together. Lord, may this church be united as they approach the coming of this new candidate. Lord, may your will be clearly seen. Lord, may you be glorified. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.